Now, would you send your kids to this school? It's a school where the kids teach each other. There's no set start or finish time, and the children decide the rules. Well, that school is opening in Sligo this September, and the lady behind it is a lady called Gail Nagle, and she's co-founder of the school, and she's on the phone this morning. Hey, Gail.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for talking to me.
No problem at all. Are you completely mad?
Oh, well, yeah. We're all a bit mad now, I think.
I think so. Tell us about the school. Firstly, like, is this your own idea or is it based on other models around the world?
Yeah, no, it is. It's based on other models that have been established for a long time. They just haven't ever quite hit it to the mainstream. But, the first school like this was set up nearly 100 years ago in the UK. And there's a good number of these schools globally, a lot in America, Israel, around Europe, lots in Germany.
Is there a name for them?
In the UK. So they're loosely kind of defined as democratic schools. In a lot of countries, they're called free schools. And the model that we are taking on is called the Sudbury School.
Sudbury?
So, Sudbury. It's named after the first Sudbury School that was opened in Massachusetts.
So, effectively, there are no rules. But, like, what are the kind of parameters then of setting up what's known as a Sudbury School? What do you need?
Well, actually, there are loads of rules, and these schools do tend to be kind of rule heavy because the children tend to be quite into making rules for themselves. And as things arise, rules and laws get made in the school. But the key feature, rather than there being no rules, is that the rules come from the student body rather than coming from an authority figure and being told down to the student body. So,
how does a six-year-old decide how it's going to run its day?
Oh, six-year-olds are very good at running their days. I don't know if you've ever hung out with a couple of six-year-olds, but children tend to know exactly what it is they need to do. And we're creating a space and an environment that kind of is nurturing for them and is giving them enough kind of freedom and autonomy to follow whatever pursuits they need to follow and to give them support with that.
So how does the day actually work?
It depends on the day is the straight answer. On average, children might be seen, a lot of the time what's said kind of in these schools, that if you turned up kind of to have a look at the school, it might look like everybody was on break or recess, as they say in America. So there could be children, you know, sitting around eating, there could be children playing football, playing board games, you know, some children could be engaged in one-to-one lessons or group lessons. It kind of looks a lot like living life in a normal kind of context, it's just on a bigger scale.
But like it. Say, I have a fella who's going to turn six now. He's just finishing junior infants tomorrow. And if I said to him, you know, you can set, you know, your lessons, he'd be like, fantastic. Basically, I want one class all week and it's football match attacks. And that's all he'd want to learn. So how do you combat that when you want to try and teach kids how to read and to write and to, you know.
Well, if you dig a bit deeper into football match attacks, there's all sorts of learning skills going on there. There's a lot of reading, there's a lot of numeracy, there's a lot of haggling. There's most hobbies and things actually are a really, really rich platform for learning all of the other kind of skills that we really hope children develop. So,
I know, but the kids have those hobbies on top of their school stuff. So it's enhancing what they're learning in a normal environment, isn't it?
Well, it is, isn't it? I suppose it comes back to kind of a philosophy, really. And I suppose in Sudbury schools and democratic schools, there's a real trust there that children are naturally curious. Children don't want to be, living. Children can see very clearly around them what's important in their culture to be successful in inverted commas grown up. So if a child is growing up in a culture where they see a lot of people that are able to read and a lot of people are able to write or play football or use technology or, you know, share master tax cards with each other, they're going to want to be successful at that. Children don't, by default, want to be unsuccessful, if you understand what I mean. So there's a real natural curiosity there. And these schools are just kind of providing the space and the time for children to develop their own interests, develop their own passions, and do it in their own time and their own space. And that's really, really important because a lot of the time our curriculums and our timetables are kind of pushing children into a flow or a routine of a day that might not necessarily fit well with that particular child. So obviously it does fit well with some children, but it's about creating places that children that maybe don't necessarily suit that framework have a space that's more suitable for them.
Isn't it like a mini version of what we're seeing now in the workplace? I mean, finally, sort of in our work environment, employers are realizing, but you know what, the model of sitting at your desk all day, staring at a screen, you know, 9 to 5, that doesn't really work. And it's not very natural. It's not how as humans we work efficiently. So in a way, I mean, the model of putting 30 kids in a room, making them sit at a desk and not move for a number of hours and shut up and listen. I mean, that is such an outdated model, but we just have stuck with it for so long. So in a way, isn't your school probably fit, you know, a more natural fit for humans?
Exactly. Well, that's the whole purpose behind it. It's kind of, I suppose, valuing childhood and valuing what children actually need, you know, both physically and emotionally, and trying to find a system and trying to create a system or a structure that suits them, that fits them, rather than requesting or requiring that they fit our system. So, and as you say, the system that we have now is fairly outdated, and it was, you know, set up in industrial times, and we've just kind of kept using it, and obviously it's been updated, and you know, there's some great things happening in the school system in Ireland, but yeah, it's about looking to find something that might be a better fit for now, for modern times.
Yeah, and what about then when kids want to go, is this just a primary school, or is it?
It's primary and secondary, so pre-mixed aging between, yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to ask, if it goes into secondary school, then what about the kind of state curriculums, if you don't have, you know, can they do their junior cert, basically?
They could if they wanted to. Basically, it's very much about what the child's path, what the child wants to follow. So state exams is a big question that people ask us about a lot of the time. And again, it depends on the mission and the path that the child wants to follow. So if a child is spent, no, they're from 5 to 18, so the children kind of go through primary and secondary in these schools. They tend to come out, and what you're saying about the workplace is really apt. And also in third level, there's a big call now in third level institutions for children or young people to be a lot more capable of self-directed learning when they come out of secondary education. And a lot of the time, that's not what the third level institutions are seeing. So these schools are really, really kind of pure forms of self-directed education.
Can you go to university if you finish school in a school like this?
Yeah, absolutely. There's loads of routes into university where, I suppose, kind of in our culture, we're traditionally set on doing the Leaving Cert, and not everybody does, but most people do. But there's loads of other routes in. There's the QQI system, which is the updated FETAC system. A lot of universities have access programs. And then a lot of people might wait until they're 23 and then they can go in as mature students, and it might be a more appropriate time for them, or they might actually know what they want to do in university rather than just going in after school.
But there's
loads of other routes in. And like that, the Leaving Cert might be the very best route for some children. If that's the case, they could sit the Leaving Cert as external candidates and be supported to do that in our school. Or if it's a case that they're better off in the mainstream in a secondary school, just because there's a lot of group learning now and continuous assessments for Leaving Cert. So if it's a case that they'd be better in the mainstream, well, then they may leave and do 5th and 6th year of senior cycle in a standard school, yeah.
And Gail, you're opening in September. Have you got many people signed up? Like, what's your student numbers going to be in September?
We set our sights on having 20 to open in September, which was kind of optimistic, but we're delighted to say that we do have 20 now. So,
wow.
It's brilliant. And there's actually a lot more interest as well. So between now and September, we're hoping to maybe increase that to a maximum of about 30. We don't want to start too big because there's a lot of work to be done in the beginning in establishing the culture. And
And what's people's reaction generally when you tell them about your idea and your school?
Most people are really positive. Like people, like, it's funny, the amount of people, a lot of people have enjoyed school, but a lot of people have a lot of kind of negative thoughts about their schooling as well, and obviously people are very aware that there's pros and cons to it, so a lot of the time a little light bulb tends to go off in people's heads, especially when you're talking about it in the context of wellness and mental health and the importance of choice for children, and now we're much more aware of how children need to really develop emotionally in childhood, and creating spaces for them to be able to do that.
Do your kids get homework?
More important all the time. No, they do not.
Well, my kids will be queuing outside your door next week.
There's no homework.
Gail Nagle, you're, fair play to you, the co-founder of the Sligo Sudbury School, and congratulations on reaching your 20-pupil target. And best of luck with the school in September.
Thanks a million. Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us and explaining to us. Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, let's talk to somebody who has made the decision to send their kids to this school. It's Julie Meehan, and she's live in studio with us. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Dermot. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for dropping in. Is there any part of you that is scared of sending your kids to a school with such a high level of freedom and just something so different?
There is, absolutely. I'll be honest. You know, there's an element of fear because we're stepping into the unknown, and there's always that bit of fear when you step into the unknown. Mm. But myself and my husband have, you know, worked through a lot of the conditioning that we've probably grown up with.
So you've worked that for yourself?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
As you know, because we all experience conditioning growing up in society and in our families and our schools and our institutions and structures. So for us, it's just been about looking at that and saying, okay, what's true about that? And how much have we been affected by the conditioning? What's helpful and what's not so helpful? So it's been an amazing process for us, you know.
What is it about the regular, or in inverted commas, normal school system that puts you off?
Well, first of all, I want to say I have tremendous respect for educators throughout the world. I think it's a vocation. It comes from the heart and, you know, it's a gift. Having said that, I find that the structure that's imposed, somebody mentioned there that structure is helpful. And yes, an element of structure is helpful for us all. However, I feel that the structure that's imposed in schools, and it's kind of necessary because educators nowadays are educating for the masses. So there has to be some sort of structure. However, children all have natural modalities of learning and they're also quite different. They're all individual. You probably know that, Dave.
Sure.
It's your own child.
Yes, I definitely do.
Yeah. So the current system can't really cater to all the different modalities. Apparently there's at least 7 forms of intelligence and we really only focus on 1 or 2 in the current system.
In your day-to-day life, you're a psychologist, is that right? So do you think this has helped you make the decision to send your kids to a school like that?
Yes, I do. I work with children and young people, and just seeing the spark within every child, every person I meet. And the way I work, I love to give children the space in my therapeutic space to be who they are and to really learn and get to know who they are. And when that happens, just something magical happens and a spark appears.
Do you think the school can guarantee that the freedom will be helpful freedom in the sense that, okay, so it leaves them with lots of room to express themselves and be themselves, but what if, you know, within that you're still not being catered for it because you are one of the other modalities of learning that even within a group of 20, 18 are, you know, leaning towards this and you're then still kind of isolated on your own. Isn't there a fear of that happening?
It's possible, because I suppose anything's possible, but the way the environment is created, the hope is that any child will be able to have the confidence to say, look, I want to do this. 18 of them want to do this, but me and my buddy here want to do something else. And that's responded to. And it might be something very simple, like, okay, well, let's arrange these things so you can do that. Or else it might involve the whole community coming together to support those two children with what they want to do.
And what age are your own children?
4 and 7.
4 and 7. Okay, so the 7-year-old's already been in school. So what, going into first class?
She's
finishing first class.
Yeah.
So she would have a experience of the, let's call it the mainstream school and structures and all that. How do you think she's going to adapt to this? Are you kind of anticipating a couple of months of complete abandon and then maybe coming back into line?
Possibly, because that can be quite common with this system. Mm. However, I'm not so sure. Funny enough, she said to me recently, Mummy, what if I'm bored in the Sudbury school? And I thought that was really curious, because my sense is that she probably is so used to having such a structure in school life. So now we're going to do maths, then we're going to break, and then we're going to do English. And that there was this sense of, oh my goodness, I'm not going to have that.
Right.
So what will I do?
Yeah. So she'll have to decide for herself how she wants to spend her time and how she wants to learn.
But she does that naturally at home anyway.
Mm.
So I think she'll be in an environment where, of course, there's going to be transition for us all.
Yeah.
But I trust that she and her sister will be able to feel into it.
How do other parents react when you tell them what your plans are?
Most people, their faces light up. You know, and you can see the questions you know, formulating in their minds, like your texters come, you know. But most people, especially after you chat to them for a few minutes, go, oh, wow, I would have loved that. That's really cool.
But is it funny? Is there a difference in that? You know, for instance, when I think of my own school, that the bits I remember are the off-curriculum stuff, you know, getting a video camera in school and spending my spare time making comedy sketches. They're the things, my favourite things to remember. And I would think, God, I would have loved a school like the Sudbury School. But then when you put on your parental hat, you go, but would I send my own kids there? And is there a bit of a civil war going on there and what people would like for themselves and what they feel like they should do for their kids?
Well, I feel that this option that we're going for, hopefully, the hope is, and this is what's been shown, I mean, the Sudbury School, the first one opened in 1968, and there's many around the world, as Gail probably said, it creates an environment where they can learn to really listen to themselves and trust themselves. So the hope is that then they will have a much better understanding of what they want for themselves. And, you know, if either of them turn around and say, look, I want to study law in Trinity and the only route to do that is to do the Leaving Cert, we'll go, absolutely, we'll support you. So we're going to be hopefully as open as possible and move with the energies around this too. So, you know, if they choose, because they're hopefully listening to themselves, another route, we will support them with that.
Did you have to convince your husband of this route? Or
no.
Did you do? Was he as much on board from the start?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully. Yeah. We found out about it 2 years ago when a friend of ours his daughter had decided to go to the Wicklow Sudbury School, and I came home and told him, and you know, it just, we were so excited, but we kind of felt that maybe we couldn't do it. It just wasn't for us.
Yeah.
And that was the conditioning. We would never be able to do that.
Here you are, though. And not only are you bringing your kids there, well, you have to move counties to make it happen. So where are you living at the moment?
We're living in Slane and Meath.
Okay. And then you're when's the move happening to Sligo?
Oh, slowly over the summer. We're transitioning over,
And are you apprehensive about that?
A little, of course. But again, it's just trusting that, you know, it will work out. So my philosophy now is just be in the moment, and then all the other moments will look after themselves. So
do you think making this decision to send your kids to, you know, such a different ethos in a school has actually changed your own outlook on life in general?
I think it's hard to say which has come first.
Mm.
You know, I suppose my outlook has been changing over the years anyway. So this kind of has dovetailed. It's just come in and it complements my outlook, and my outlook is probably shaping that, and vice versa. Yeah.
Do you know what would be great? Would be to catch up with you again in a year when you're coming to the end of the first school year in the Sudbury School in Sligo, and then see, you know, how your kids have gotten on, how you've gotten on. You know,
I've gone feral. I haven't seen them in 3 days. They're living in the woods.
Julie Meehan, you're a brave lady sending your kids to the Sudbury School and making the decisions on for their well-being. There's a lot of people are texting in saying that you're talking so much sense. It's all about a good fit for the individual child, says a text. My boys are finished in education. If this approach was around at the time, I would definitely have sent them there. So there's a lot of people who think it's great. Some people think it is a little bit crazy, but you would expect that reaction.
Absolutely.
To something so
And we're all
polarizing.
Welcome to choice, which is wonderful in this society.
Well, good luck with the family move to Sligo.
Thanks so much.
It's a beautiful county. I'm sure you'll get on famously there.